All right, let's head over to the Zoom line where we have Camilo Mejia with Innovate AI and Rebecca Hoffman, Blockchain for Energy, B4E, right? That's how it is?
That's
Carbon,
right.
B4E Carbon. So thank you for joining us here today. I'm very excited for this because I have been following the blockchain and the Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency market for well over probably 15 years now that I really start thinking about it more and more. And before then, even because of my previous industry, I covered the, do you remember the round circular punch cards that banks used to use that actually were computers back in the day? They were like punch cards. So I kind of even know about that a little bit. So it's this blockchain has been very interesting. But what interests me even more is we have blockchain for energy. And I often said that when blockchain hits the energy industry, you're going to see the next level of the paradigm shift happen. You're going to see things happen in new ways that we can't even fathom. And thank you so much for joining us today because we're going to talk about some of those ways the paradigm shift is going to be, I guess, lubricated through energy, I guess, through a new system, a new way of looking at the world, if you will. But let's talk about the genesis, blockchain for energy. Rebecca, we'll start with you. Let's talk about the genesis of your company. How did you come about? What are you and what's your mission? And
Yeah,
thank you
thank
for
you.
joining us.
Oh, thank you for inviting us, Jason. So you're so right. So about 8 years ago, I started on this journey and realized that if you're going to really create the next generation of the internet, which is Web3, which is a decentralized way of working, and that's really what we're looking at, is you're going to need to bring together the industry. And so Blockchain for Energy is actually a member-led consortium made up of energy companies that leaned in and said, let's come and find a way to learn more about this technology and how we can use it for our companies. So the actual mission of Blockchain for Energy is to drive industry innovation beyond traditional technological boundaries. We're achieving success through synergizing our efforts and our expertise to create a trust network. That word's important, trust network, where collaboration is now a catalyst for value creation. So we're talking about how can we redefine operational efficiency, foster growth using automation, robust standards, cutting-edge technology for faster adoption. And we're testing the limits of possibilities. We're working on tomorrow's solutions today, and B4E Carbon is one of those. So we're really excited to be here and to talk more about what's come out of our journey together as an industry, as a consortium collaborating over, these past 5, 6 years together. And we knew that carbon emissions management is a very shared challenge for the energy industry. And that's what we're about. How can we help the industry where you have to do business together externally? This technology, this blockchain, these decentralized ledgers, how they help. And so happy to talk more about that.
Camilo Mejia with Innovate AI. Let's talk about your company, your partnership, the collaboration. And this is very interesting because, what we're talking about here really is the carbon management industry. And you can really see how AI is going to play a giant role in this, and it's really going to help facilitate so much of the carbon management because we've gotten to the point where it doesn't matter what energy source you come from, you're now energy because we're breaking it down. We're breaking it down to the atom. We're breaking it down to the periodic table, and carbon is where we're at. So we're managing carbons. How's the AI going to play a role in that? And let's talk about your company, Camilo, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for the invitation as well. So I think AI is everywhere today, but for us, AI is just the capacity to do things better, faster, to be more efficient, and to streamline streamline processes. That's really what we bring to the table when it comes down to B3 Carbon and the collaboration with B3. Innovate AI is a tech company out of Houston, Texas. We are engineers that went into the computer science in order to really optimize processes for the oil and gas industry. We built a background around the traditional core segments for oil and gas production, drilling, completions, production, then went into the transfer of knowledge from oil and gas to the low carbon market. And in that process, in that journey, we had the privilege to work with B4E and to collaborate with Rebecca across the board. And yeah, we came together to kind of deliver something for the industry, supporting the B4E mission and really, you know, improving efficiencies, making things faster, better. And I think there is a lot that AI will kind of unlock for the industry. It's just a journey, and that's where we are. We're in that journey.
Rebecca, one of the first stories we did with the crude life 12 years ago was, this is not an oil boom, it's a technology boom. And that story continues to be told every day. And when we look at the integration of AI, we look at even layering in the blockchain, when I think about how long it took to do some education on a number of different new technologies, I don't know what it is about AI, if it's the kids have adapted it and they've trained us how to do it, the older generation, or what it is. But, you know, one of the questions I like to ask individuals is, you know, what are your obstacles? What are your barriers to entry? And when it comes to technology, a lot of times it's just an educational learning curve. This doesn't seem to be a big learning curve when it comes to AI. I don't know, Rebecca, are you finding that to be the case?
I'm telling you what, we've jumped in even as a consortium. We use AI to do all our note-taking now. Mm-hmm. So as a consortium, you know, we're mandated to keep minutes of every meeting. It's all done by AI now. We're using AI to actually create some of our media things. And of course, we're using AI with Innovate to actually do intelligent dashboards. And so what it's doing is, you know, blockchain is a very back-end technology. And it's a lot of people can't really see, touch, feel what it's doing, but it's very impactful, right? It's that trust layer. It's giving transparency, immutable data. Where AI comes into play, it can take that data and do heavy analytics, and it can display it for better decision making. And, you know, I mean, Camilo can even talk more about this, but they're in there and they're helping us to add that extra value that we need so that we can have people managing their carbon, and it's transparent, it's trusted, which is a very important part of knowing how it's measured. And so we've got this display now, not only a display, but an intelligent way of showing that data. Camilo, you want to add a little bit more to that for me?
Sure, Rebecca. I think the value that, you know, all these kind of intelligent frameworks bring to the table is really the capacity to create value from what you have. So we live in a world that we get more and more data, and we see more and more data, right, really coming to the market because regulations are changing, because processes are being different, new markets are being, you know, created in the low carbon space. So we are going to have more data. Then we have security and governance, which is really a key piece from blockchain. So how you create value out of the data, the frameworks, the tools that you have today, that's really what AI is all about. How you can quantify and deliver that value. I think that's the biggest piece that I can talk about today.
Now, if one of the ways to kind of just go through blockchain is different than Bitcoin, correct? That's
100%.
Yes.
Bitcoin is an application,
right,
of blockchain.
So, and go ahead.
And B3 Carbon is an application of blockchain. So yes, you can have many different applications. How you use blockchain can be done in various ways.
And one of the things I like to explain to people about the difference between, you know, blockchain and Bitcoin is, you know, kind of where, you know, when you think of a banking system, you know, Bitcoin is basically the dollar. And then you look at everything that's involved with the banking system, and that would be more of the blockchain. So you're looking at, my understanding is, payment basically immediately. So you're taking out a lot of international barriers, and you're looking at a lot of the legal standpoint, and all this is done by AI and instantaneously, and it takes out so much just fraud and time and red tape and bureaucracy and all these different things. Camilo, what's the reality of it? Well, I mean, is it to me, I kind of paint it as pie in the sky. Like, there's a great scene in Deadwood, the hit series on HBO, where the woman, I forget her name, Alma, she makes the first bank, and these miners come in and they give her gold, and then she gives them the dollar bill, basically, which is it's a currency note. And I was sitting with a banker at the time, and she goes, that's basically what I do, but there's 500 people in between. And I thought, boy, that's a real good description, because that is the origin of a bank right there, the gold and the dollars. And so as we go into this new evolution of blockchain, cryptocurrency, digital economy, however we want to refer to it, there's so many benefits that come into where we're going. Let's talk about that a little bit. And what are some of those realities? Because, like I said, you can paint it as pie in the sky because it's coming and it hasn't happened yet. So people want to hype the hype. So what's the reality?
Yeah, I think the future is full of possibilities. The pace of innovation is really, really fast today. We are coming from a really critical point in humanity, which was COVID, and COVID pushed digitalization to the very extreme. So the pace of innovation is really, really fast. We can achieve so many things. But I think when it comes down to blockchain and B3 carbon, I would like to kind of take a step back and really think about the security of the data, and especially when we talk about environmental claims, emissions, renewable energy claims. I think that there's a big challenge in the industry today, which is really about how we can have a solid framework where we can actually validate our environmental claims. We see regulations being stronger in terms of the disclosure. We see operators or customers really trying to figure it out. So I think there is a significant value today in terms of the governance of that data and the security of those claims, because it's not like the industry is doing right or wrong. It's like the industry is trying to figure it out. And I think that's probably the biggest application today, the security, the framework, the collaboration. From that point onwards, once you start bringing IoT, AI, then you can start building so much. And Rebecca can talk about so many applications that the B3 consortium is developing. But we touch on payments, we touch on claims, we touch on logistics, on, I don't know, Rebecca, I think this is your domain. I think there is so much, but the reality is we can achieve so much, but we need to take the industry in that journey. And you put it very well, which is a lot about education and how we take all this industry towards the future. And I think that's one of the key points about technology.
Rebecca, I did want to ask you about some of those benefits, because when I think about some of the stories I've done in the past, and in 2016, I believe it was around that time, and it was the importing exporting legislation that took over a year. I think it was maybe even 2015, and a lot of, and then there was the importing exporting banks after that. And so there are so many benefits that come with this. And when I take a look at who some of your partners are, some of the collaborators are, and when I think about some of the stories I've done where you're talking about international, even within the borders, but yet the international obstacles, talk about some of these benefits and some of these hurdles that are going to be and already are being jumped because of this.
Yeah, are you talking about like cross-border payments and
Oh
things?
boy, that was I know that I'm not sure if you're there yet, but I know that's one of the places that blockchain was supposed to go.
There's already governments and people working on that specific one. There's tracking and tracing of a valve, from the manufacturer all the way through payment. There, all of these things, Blockchain for Energy is working on so many others where providence and knowing that you owned it at some point in time and when did that ownership cross over.
So you're talking about like supply chain logistics, even.
either supply chain logistics or seismic. I mean, think about seismic has a 60-year life that you have to track and trace. That is data, and that data is an asset. It could be sold, leased, bought, mergers happen. That data has to be transferred. How do you know who owns it at what point in time? There's also, yes, the supply chain is heavily, right? That's a perfect use case for this that we're working on. We have a B4E logistics that just came out in November to say what happened in the field. You know, it really happened in the field, and both parties agree that that's what happened. And now it's trusted. It's immutable on a blockchain. Pay. Why do you need to prove it? If mm-hmm. all the criteria is met, no one touches anything. Just pay. Do your regulatory reporting on it. Send it for emission to B4E carbon for emissions, reporting. So there's a lot of things that we have worked on. We have created what we call the B4E network and platform, which is a consortium blockchain layer and enabling open source with interoperability. Mm-hmm. And what we're calling is future proofing, right? So technology is changing at such a rapid rate. You need to build things that you have future proofed, that you can switch your technology over time. You're not locked in. Mm-hmm. And then that layer is allowing all these applications, which is where Camilo comes in and helps with, we can build all different types of usages. Like you said, Bitcoin is one application of it. This B4E carbon is one application of it. We have a B4E logistics, and others can come and build on top of this, allowing that robust network effect of doing commerce on this new networked blockchain, right? And the industry creates the rules, the guidance, the policies, the governance of who's on there, how we need to interact responsibly, and do business in a Web3 digital way.
Camilo, one of the things that I also understand about blockchain is, yes, there's the payment element, which is if everybody does their job, everybody signs off on it, payment happens immediately, crosses borders, everything's, because all the upfront work is already done, then when the actual action happens, then a lot of times there's no more 30 days, there's no more 45 days, but there's all these other plugins that you can keep putting in. I think somebody mentioned emissions or regulations. So now you're going to fold in all these different new areas into it. Is that where AI is really going to shine? Is taking on, when the EPA changes their regulations, well, then AI is going to be able to do all that legwork ahead of time. And I'll give you an example. When the airline industry first introduced iPads, before then, they used this 50-pound black box. And this black box had to have all the training manuals in there. And that weighed 50 pounds or so. And so when the iPads came in, so there was a savings of not printing all the paper. There was the savings of the labor not going into all these manual boxes that the FAA required every pilot to have. But then at the end of the year, they found out the nickels made dollars, and there actually was a savings on the aviation fuel. And this was like 2014. So when I started understanding how blockchain is working, I think of that example of just those three savings that come basically because of this new shift in the way of doing business. Is that what we're talking about here? Is that you're going to start to see exponential savings in ways that haven't even been invented yet?
I think it's totally right. Not only savings, but also opportunities for monetization. So technology adoption and technology longevity is driven by the value creation. And you're totally right. So B4E carbon is really about, having a more kind of a streamlined process for emissions reporting and management. And there are so many benefits in between. So if we go to regulations today, we look at, I don't want to go too technical, but we look at method 9 and 22. Those are something that we call eyeballing, which means manual processes. So meaning people are going to the field, taking surveys on paper, you know, exposing risk because the logistics to that particular trip, all that can be, you know, eliminated with this particular convergence of IoT, blockchain, AI. So you have right there cost savings, right? Now, as you know, as you go into the process, you have more automated ways of doing things, the reporting piece, which is a big focus for us. Then you're saving time. You're having, you know, people focus on really what matters, which is, you know, creating value for the asset as opposed to really crunching data, moving data around. So that is really savings that are just there for companies to capitalize on. And then there is so much potential going into the future with the blockchain technology, going into tokenization, having a better risk profile for insurance companies, and so much more. But you are totally right. The technology value is driven by the cost savings, which is basically process optimization, the opportunity to have a more kind of safe, secure reporting structure that is automated, and the opportunity to have more opportunities for monetization down the line. So you're totally right, 100% accurate.
Rebecca, let's talk about some of the companies that are involved. We've said the word consortium, whether they're partners, whether they're collaborators, whether they're members, however they're phrased with the word consortium. Who are some of the people that are going to be doing, it's basically going to be some information sharing here, isn't it?
It's so the consortium is set up in a way that allows different companies to come in and sponsor different use cases or different, we call them programs, and there's several projects under a program. So they come in and they sponsor these projects but everyone then gets a benefit of that. Everyone can come in and give an input. Everyone can participate in UAT testing. Everyone can, and so they're giving these voices. And what we focus on a lot of times is specifically what needs to help the industry, what needs collaboration. When you do business, you have external parties involved. Those external parties are at the table and they're talking through, how do we make our next generation better for the energy industry? What are common shared pain points or challenges? Let's focus on that. And the technologies are all tools. And so now we've become kind of a center of excellence, right, in these technologies, making sure that we bring in good collaborators and member like Innovate AI, right? And that we come in and we can come beside them, and they really are creating solutions for those end users. Come in and work group, right? And they are designing, and we help them build for themselves, you know, the end. It's beautiful. It's the end user building for the end user. And we just go and find all those pieces that need to happen, whether it's standards boards or, hey, do we need to go and see if we need to influence policy, or do we need, you know, AI, or do we need IoT to come in to make a robust solution like we did for B4E Carbon. So B4E Carbon is a convergence of IoT, blockchain, and AI that we brought together to have an end-to-end emissions management system like none other out there. And it's been beautiful that they have a voice in this. And I want Camilla to talk a little bit about this, because it's interesting, it's actually went to renewables. So geothermal companies are the ones stepping in and saying, we wanna lead the charge on this. So if we can, Camilo, add a little bit more about why, what was the benefit for them and why they felt they needed this immediately.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we go back to the regulations and the government incentives. So for the low carbon producers, geothermal, hydrogen, specifically geothermal, there is a lot of opportunities for monetization with better reporting. So they can tap into the IRA plan, which, you know, everybody knows there is quite significant opportunities for people going into clean energy today. So the reporting piece is quite significant. And as we go into the details for the blockchain technology, the voluntary market is a big opportunity for the innovators in the low carbon market. So I think we need to talk about the regulator, the compliance market, which is really kind of dynamic, that kind of covers oil and gas, low carbon, but the voluntary market is emerging as an opportunity for everybody in the future. That's the reality. So Rebecca, the geothermal value, the value for the geothermal companies is really the automation of the reporting, having a more standard way to describe the environmental claims. So one of the biggest things within B4A carbon is the standardization process. So when we are reporting today carbon emissions, we don't know where that data is coming from. We know the power plant, but we don't know the source over time. So there is no really traceability of the information. So the standardization process is really adding to the value of the claims and to the history of the power generation or energy production. So when you think about oil and gas, you have the oil, the price for oil barrel, which is WTI. WTI has very specific condition attributes for that price to be at the level, whatever it is. $80 is according to this kind of density, this total amount of solids. So that's really what we are doing with B4A carbon, and it's one of the key metrics for the product development. How we can define those metric tons, where the metric ton that companies are claiming is coming from, what is the attributes tied to that particular claim. So that is really a big value for the entire industry, but for the low carbon market is imperative today.
Is there a way to verify? We mentioned, you know, some of the different regulations, and you know, I'm thinking, of course, take the media industry. Back when I was a magazine publisher, we'd have to a lot of times verify to like an ad agency our actual printer run from the printer, how many magazines we actually printed from the printer, because some people would just add a zero. No, we actually print 100,000, not 10,000. And you know, when we start thinking about the emissions, yeah, oops, I, you know, the decimal point was over 1 point, you know, and these yeah. different things. I would really think that going to a blockchain, going to some sort of AI is going to make it more secure, and it's also going to make it more accurate. Am I wrong? I mean, is there, because again, okay, you guys are, whichever one you want to take the lead on that, because like I was saying, I come from a world where anybody could make up any sort of matrix, and anybody could sit in front of a computer and hit a website click until they get 100 a day and all kinds of different tricks of the trade. But this is different. This is like, you can't really trick this as easy, can you? This is like pretty secure stuff.
I think you touched on so many points. So yeah, it's secure, it's safer, it's faster. The validation piece is real time. So if you want to validate the claim, the source of the claim, you just go into the system, go back mm-hmm. to the sensor, verify exactly what the sensor, you know, capacity is, what's the inspection, so you have a lot more transparency in that regards. Then you have the blockchain framework, which is really bringing security governance. So yes, it's about more accurate claims. It's more, it's faster, it's better. So yeah, that's for sure part of what we're trying to achieve here. Now, when it comes down to the, you know, the decimals, how many zeros, that's the standardization process, right? So we have some guidelines by regulators, and we have some standards by definition of the product as a consortium. Mm-hmm. So is a standardization, is about really evolving the technology, and is faster and better for sure, Rebecca.
So I have a question for you then. I like to ask people who their customer is, because when you're talking about, like, when you're oil and gas specifically, or any sort of energy, man, that supply chain is pretty vast. I mean, you know, you got upstream, downstream, midstream, salmon stream, there's all kinds of streams involved. And so, and sometimes the customer is so specific that, you know, it's like, there's like six people in the entire country, and that's it, that person can call on. And so it's very different. When you're talking about, you know, blockchain for energy, who's your, I mean, do you have a customer? Is this a public awareness thing? Are you trying to educate people so they can be a part of this blockchain? Talk to me about, you know, who your end customer would be, I guess, Rebecca.
No, we have, so the members are there because they want to lead. They want to shape the technology and shape and mold things for their companies. They know this is happening, right? Web3 is coming, decentralization is coming, AI is coming, you know, everything's getting censored up. It's a ton of data, like Camilo talked about. We have common challenges, you know, to have a zero footprint. You know, how do we navigate the energy transition? How do we navigate? We all say, you know, we're in this digital transformation. That's what the consortium has been about. But make no mistake, these are companies who have come in that want to learn, but not only learn, but to actually produce something. We've always done real things because we said we can work in theory, but until you actually get your hands on and create real things, that's when the journey truly starts, because the adaptation of this, you know, these solutions over time need to happen now. And so now we found ourselves here years later with real things. And that's the exciting thing. So last year we had two press releases. This year we just had a press release right before CERAWeek with the B4E Carbon. And we want to help the energy industry with the energy transition and with the digital transformation. And these are things that are coming out of it. This is the fruit from all that labor. And it is more secure. And that's why we're doing it. It is immutable data. It is a more trusted way. I mean, one of the biggest things in our emissions management, and we're seeing in the news constantly, Camilo and I were just talking about this. He saw in the news, and we're seeing it quite often now, people having to reverse their claims. You know, this is a way to help prevent that. Help prevent fraud, greenwashing, double counting, you know, to help with that transparency, to help companies navigate that journey.
You could certainly feel something's coming, whether it's ESG or it's environmental social governance or it's sustainability reports or it's something. It just seems like there's going to be a new level of transparency coming, really.
Yes.
Accountability might be another word, because I try to take the boogeyman out and the doom and gloom, and I just kind of look at, okay, what's at the core? What are they trying to achieve here? Well, in this, it really seems like they're trying to achieve security, efficiency, and transparency. And those are three things that really help business. They really help business a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, Camilo, who's your customer, by the way? I mean, You've got an AI company, correct? You're kind of doing the AI side of this. Are you global, international? Are you, you know, just in energy sector? Are you looking at other areas? Talk about your company a little bit and who you guys represent.
Absolutely. We are 100% focused on the energy industry, the energy market. We come from energy. We want to support energy forward. 80% of our activity is centralized in North America, with U.S. Mm-hmm. being obviously the focus for us. We have some operations here and there overseas, but really we want to really push energy forward. We want to see an oil and gas industry that is more efficient, that is cleaner, and to some extent the entire industry to be more diversified by the knowledge of the transfer of knowledge from oil and gas to all these kind of geothermal hydrogen. There is a lot that oil and gas has to do in terms of a better future, and I think that's the journey. So our customers are energy operators, oil and gas operators in Texas, West Texas, South Texas, Oklahoma, all around the US, Gulf of Mexico, actually a big priority for us right now. And we really talk to the operators, the people leading operations, the executives that are pushing the company into the future. There is a lot of need support for how you bring AI, how you bring blockchain, what's the value? Is that a cost? Is that an investment? Is that an ROI that we can measure? So it's really bring that level of awareness and education for customers to make better decisions going into the future. That's pretty much our mission.
Rebecca, When I take a look at some of your collaborators, some of your partners, your board of directors, these are some very respected legacy historic companies and research institutions, as well as it's very diverse. And you know, when we're talking about blockchain, that's sure that cryptocurrency is a part of it, but really we're talking about the foundation here, making sure that everything is done in a way that's going to impact the companies in a way that all these different organizations are going to be basically adding their voice to. Isn't that correct? Okay. Am I following this right? I want to make sure here.
No, you're right. You're right. We've got some really big majors, and they have been part of the consortium since the inception. They're founding members of this, right? It's really a consortium for the industry, by the industry. And you're right. There's big guys. There's Chevron, ExxonMobil, you know, Repsol, ConocoPhillips, Chesapeake, Devon. We've got some, you know, really big companies. We have standards boards. We have other companies who are advisors. We have members like Innovate AI, which is from a technology standpoint. We have many not listed that help support the consortium in different ways. We have companies that just participate because guess what? You need to be on the other side of the phone. This is a business, and business is not done alone. And you do business with one of these operators and you sign a participation agreement and you come participate in this. And so some of it is that simple, but that was in a phase of very pilot phase. Now, like I said, we've now established these foundational elements. We even have a code library. We're like, why recode something? If you need price book, and we've already figured out how to have interactions around pricing that's secure and, you know, between just you and your partner on the blockchain, why redo that when you need it somewhere else? You need providence. Why redo that? So there's this really cool, unique, you know, plug and play Lego blocks of how to get there. And we're now at this verge where apps can just be literally kind of pieced together. And then what's left? Okay, code that. So we're super excited of what we've accomplished and where we've gotten to as a consortium. And it has all been because of the voices of these member companies. Over 70 participants come from those companies to make up these work groups. And we have 6 programs running right now with 8 projects. In addition to, now we have actual solutions rolling out that you can use. And that's the beauty of this. We didn't want to just be, hey, let's help, you know, and talk about this, or hey, let's help and draw something up. No, let's go build. And as we're building, we're going to work through these issues and we're going to overcome them, and we're going to get an agreement together as an industry. And then we're going to say, yeah, we're not the whole industry, but guess what? We represent a good chunk of it. And, you know, hey, come join us if you want to. The door's open. This is a consortium. But there's a lot of companies that say, hey, let me know when you're done. We think it's awesome what you're doing. But, you know, I'm in the middle of a merger, or I'm in the middle of a, you know, something else. And we understand all companies are at different phases of this. But we say it's more important the energy industry comes together and learns how to do business on a consortium network like this. It's vital because we're going to be pushed to it either through the banking industry. The insurance industry is now demanding more trust. They want to see more transparency. So there's going to be business reasons why. So why wouldn't you come and be a part of the voice and part of the solution and helping shape the technology, helping shape these solutions that are going to add value to your own business and keep you relevant?
I think staying ahead is the correct way to really look at it if you're somebody who wants to understand why this is important is because it's allowing the industry to really direct the ship and stay ahead, because it is coming. I've always told people, if you can get more than 50% of your idea involved with something, hey, it's a home run. And if you're ahead of the game, generally they come to you for a lot of the guidance, because they don't know what they're doing. They just don't. And so they just know they have to. Somebody told them they got to do this. Okay, we'll go to these people. They seem to know what they're doing. Rebecca, is there a size limit? Is this just for majors? Can people in the supply chain come? Can small companies, obviously everybody's voice is needed and that sort of thing. But at the same time, what stage are you guys at? Are you looking for, companies of all shapes and sizes, or is it just mostly the majors at this point?
No, it's not mostly the majors. I mean, we have Chesapeake and Devon, and we have some others, SLBs in the consortium. So we want that diversity, because if you think about it, when you do business, you don't do business just major to major either, right? I mean, there's some sites, when we were in the Bakken, there were some sites that were like mom and pop trucking company, Dan and his, brother Ben, and they that was the only two trucks out there, or,
in the county. Yep.
Yeah. And so how can we, look to, and then, so we're finding ways to overcome all those types of obstacles to say, how can everyone participate in this new way of working on digital ledgers? And I am telling you, it can all be overcome. And so part of it is the journey. We've been taking the journey for years now. We've overcome a lot of these issues, because as they're adopting these new solutions, they have the same issues. So company to company can talk about these things of, hey, let's create a standard way to do this, and then put it into this industry solution that's governed by all of us. Because what we found really early on, Jason, was that there was companies that built it, and some of the companies were like, well, they're my competitor and they built this. How do we know how they built it? How do we know they can't see our data? How do they, there was so much, how do we, and distrust that that's why we said there's got to be a consortium. It needs to be a consortium blockchain that is governed and led by the industry as a whole. And especially when you're talking about emissions management, do we really want 16 different registries? How do you prevent double counting? None of that made sense. It makes sense to have an industry-led approach to this. And then have validators come and validate on the blockchain, right? Their methodologies or their... So we have tried to build everything where you have choices. So you have choices of your IoT provider. You even have choices of your AI or your, who makes your dashboards, or it can very much be, but the registry should be something that is very much open, right? In that sense. And your marketplace, like one of the ones we're working on, seismic. Like if you're going to buy, sell, lease seismic as an asset or any asset, shouldn't that be in an open marketplace that's open and there's just led by the industry or led, by a bigger thing that way? Mm-hmm. And instead of, this is a startup company and he has a blockchain and you're going to register here. Well, are you going to go, how does that work? I don't see it. So this made sense to us as an industry and as a consortium. And we said, this is where we can lean in and really make a difference and propel this net zero and propel the trust and have a place where companies can get to enable monetization very fast.
Camila, what's the takeaway from this? What do you want people to take away from this interview to really look at and understand if there was one or two things that people should know from this?
Absolutely. I think the first one is the need for better ways of doing things today, especially when it comes down to carbon emissions. That's really kind of takeaway number one. We are collaborating, working with B4E to deliver something that will make a significant change for everybody. This is not only about regulators. This is not about operators. This is about the entire industry as a whole. So that's takeaway number one. Takeaway number two, I think that technology is here, is growing, is evolving. And I think technology is aiming to do things, better for everybody. So I think there is a lot of things we can maximize from the implementation of digital technologies. And last but not least, we are, as a team, we can achieve more. And I think the industry has been facing challenges in the past. I think we have a better present, better today. And I think this is where we need to take advantage to get stronger into the future. That's kind of three takeaways.
Okay. How about you, Rebecca? One of the things I found interesting is, you mentioned earlier that, AI is coming and this is coming and everything. And I'm thinking, no, it's already here. Like in the marketing world, we need a sense of urgency. And so in commercials, they say, act now. And it's funny because like AI is already here. So you don't need to put that sense of urgency out there. And so what's your takeaway on this? What do you want people to take, learn from this today?
I'm going to give a call of action. I like what you're saying there, mm-hmm. Jason. A call of action is the industry to come together, come see what we're doing, come participate, come put your voice in this. This is your future. It's your company's future. It's your future as a user of technology. The door is open. We're working hard and come be a part of it. It's exciting.
And are there any websites we're directing people to, by the way, just as we kind of close up here as I look at the time?
Yes. It's www.blockchain4energy.net. We're a network. We're a network.
And we'll make sure we have those links at our show page. Well, thank you two so much today for your time and information. And we'll make sure we revisit this to see how the consortium is doing, okay?
Love it. Thank you.
Thank you.